So, when we move through the layers of the. Oh, Saul, are you there? Yes, you are fantastic. When we move through the layers of the P, underneath the gremlin, we get three layers that are under the heading the alien. Right? So the alien is comprised of three layers. And you might think, alien? Might it have something to do with the movie? And the answer is yes, it does. So they have sourced some of these names from interesting places, and the alien. Do you all know the movie The Alien? Yeah. So it's the artist Giga who drew this monster, very famous. It has like, when it attacks, it opens its mouth, and then another mouth comes out and snaps at people, right? It has acid for blood. And the acid can burn through multiple floors in the spaceship, right? Because they have really big spaceships. And its skin is like steel. And basically that's a great image of you, right? Or a part of you. There's a part of you that we all have this part. Now I'm gonna describe the first two layers of the alien. The third one we're gonna keep for next time because yeah, but we need to bundle them up a little bit in order to get through them. The first two layers of the alien are about attack and defense. So the one is the snapping mouth, the other one is this skin of steel. So the first layer they just call aggression. Now, these are the personality parts that are. That just rips at other people. So sometimes, have you noticed sometimes in an argument, in particular, if you're pissed off, you'll say something really hurtful very fast. You don't think. You just say something and you just say whatever comes to mind that's the most hurtful that you can. It's just how much harm can I cause in the least amount of time, right? If you, very economic. Few words, max harm. And it's usually very hot, and it's just like this snapping at other people. Yes, how many can recognize this pattern? Good. Can I hear some good examples? Like what are the mean things you've said to other people? Nobody can think of anything mean they've ever said to someone else. But you have a feeling that you probably did. Yeah.
I think loads of mean things.
Yeah.
I'm very cruel in my head, but I don't actually come out and say it. And so, like, if that's all right, like in the last one you said, but when you want to do it, like, yeah, loads.
Okay.
But I've got a pretty sophisticated lid. I don't think other people experience it like that, but believe me, there is a lid.
Yes. Okay, good. But it's interesting to also see when is there a breach of that lid. Sometimes we might believe that we're just saying something very accurate, right? Or sometimes we feel like they bloody well deserve it. Right? So this is the verbal equivalent of a punch in the face. You get the idea, right?
Could it
Very
be
hot, there's.
passive, Klaus? Could it be just like,
We
boom,
get to
like
that.
cut, cutting someone
That's
off?
the next one. That's the next
Okay.
one. The next one is the defense. And that's exactly what you just described. It's the iron wall, right? It's that one I just cut off. It's sometimes it's silent, and sometimes it is the complete defendedness. Literally, you can feel yourself turning into a little iron ball. Nothing gets through. Other people might point out something that's actually really valid, and you will have none of it, right? you are 100% in the right, the other person is 100% in the wrong, full stop. How many people recognize this? Yeah, good. So that's the iron defense or iron pearl. Sometimes they call it like that. So the main thing is, of course, to recognize when you do it, right? And it can be a combination. But I will say a little bit more about the mechanism through which this works. Many times, if you snap at somebody else, it is you will project something onto them that comes from you, and then you will attack. For example, the other person might criticize you for something, and it is something that you are giving yourself a hard time about, so it's a sore spot. Then you can take that self-criticism and going like it comes from them, and the moment you project it onto them, you get the opportunity to attack and destroy it. So one of the reasons that the attacks can be extra vicious is because you're not just attacking the other person, you're also attacking something you dislike in yourself that you're projecting onto them. Does it make sense? That's where a lot of the energy comes from. You project an attack. And the defense works in a similar way. It's like, how do you get rid of something in yourself? You can project it and then attack and destroy it, or you can project it and then cut off from it. Make sense? So you see in them, you project onto the other person something you dislike in yourself, and then you go like, I will not associate myself with this kind of person. And the strength in the cutting off and the defendedness comes because you're not just defending yourself against an opinion of another person. You're defending yourself on what you the thing from inside that you're projecting on that other person. Like, think of, if you think about the people you snap at and the people you where you get into defensive mode, I would bet that person represents something that you loathe, something that you really dislike, something that you would be very, you would feel abhorred if you ever saw it in yourself. Does that make sense? Yeah. So these are two mechanisms: project, attack, project, and defense. In practice, the one feels just like you snap at somebody, you say mean things. The other one is, the best way I can describe it is that you feel sincerely, probably, that you are 100% in the right and the other one is 100% in the wrong. Do you have any good examples of the second one? Yeah, Amanda.
The second one is the defense, you mean?
Yes.
Second one. Yeah. And I really believed I was innocent in this, but now I know I wasn't. I felt really offended with someone and felt messed about and just messed about by them, really, but offended and probably hurt on some level. And they came up to me, and I distinctly remember, oh yeah, you're going to hug me now, I suppose. I remember thinking, you're going to hug me now. And I really feel ashamed of this, that I just froze. And I knew full well on some level that I was communicating maybe even my hatred of this person, as in I just became like, you're talking about iron, I felt like a block of ice, actually.
Yes. Good.
And they hugged me, and I knew that they felt it, and I said absolutely nothing, and yet I transmitted something really strongly, and they knew it, and I distanced myself from that person. I understand some of why, but I think that was, I really regret doing that. I think that was really unkind of me to do that, and not even bother to check it out with them, but just to kind of transmit that to someone is, I think that's pretty nasty, actually.
So I just want to say something, which I think is very important, because as we are going through this, you're going to come across one nasty thing after another, right? That's the whole point of what we're doing here. I think it's very important to remember or frequently remind yourself the side of you that was in charge of your behavior was trying to solve a problem for you. The main target was not to be nasty. The main target was to distance yourself from something that was overwhelming or thoroughly unpleasant. Yeah, does that mean that it was a very skillful and good way thing to do? No, there are better ways of dealing with it. But do you see why I'm saying it, right? Because what we want to do here is we want to welcome all those sides and acknowledge those sides of ourselves, so that we can see these are mechanisms we carry, they're not us. They're mechanisms we carry, and it's easier to become aware of the mechanisms the less you judge them.
I do see that, and I do have, you know, I'm not ripping myself apart.
No, I don't think you are.
As I might have done in the past. But what I feel about that and that kind of behavior, and I'm just talking about myself as a human being, is I see the destructiveness, you know, the utter kind of get away from me kind of attitude of, you know, get away from me, and unloving kind of response in that. You know, there's no love in that. That's pure kind of, that's pure coldness, as in I am making sure you know how I feel about you. And I suppose what bothers me is the destructiveness in that.
Yes. So, of course, there are negative consequences. But I would actually challenge one thing that you just said. You said there is no love in that. I think if you look at a broader perspective, that's exactly what it's driven by. So when we project something onto somebody else and then cut off, right? Why do we do it? We do it because we think we have to distance ourselves from something. We have to cut off from something in order to find something else. And we are willing to do quite mean things. Why? Because the thing that we are chasing is something we are madly in love with. So there is, it's actually motivated by, it's motivated by love plus believing you don't have alternatives. Right? It's a little bit like, to give a parallel, if you think that in order to save your child that you love very much, you have to shoot somebody who's attacking you. You could isolate and say, in that moment, there is no love towards the person I'm shooting. No, but that doesn't mean that the action isn't actually motivated by love. And had you had an alternative, you might have used it. Does it make sense what I'm saying? I think this is not, you know, super new to you, but I think it's worth mentioning.
Yes, yes, on that level it does, but I mean, maybe it's because of my Enya type that I'm avoiding finding out. But, you know, I might see it in a certain way, as in, you know, that, I mean, it was motivated by my desire for love. This, you know, I thought this person loved me. And when I realized that they didn't, or in my mind, they didn't, and now I'd been rejected in some way, I'd been hurt, and instead of saying that, I just did this action, and you know, so I can see that love is somewhere in there, like the desire for that and feeling rejected, then I just put that back. Okay, you've done this to me, I'm gonna make sure you know exactly what you've done to
me. Yes.
And they probably hadn't have done that, but I assumed that they had.
Exactly.
So, yeah, it's just, it's tricky because you're asking us to get in touch with the, you know, and acknowledge these things, and it has its own kind of reverberation.
And you will come up, because we are looking at sides of you that... I mean, you will consider negative. Of course, there's gonna be you. It's gonna bump you and go like, "Ugh, I don't like that. That is in me." And this is why I encourage you to. Basically, I encourage you to have as little of an opinion about these patterns as possible. And I know that that's not always possible. And of course, you have reactions and stuff like that. The less you focus on your opinions and the more you focus on just going like, it's like you tune your eyes to a certain pattern and you go there, yes, I found three of them, right? The more you do this, the easier it will be. Oh, there's something in the chat. A strange feedback noise.
You're coming in and out, Klaus. I thought it was me. But I think it's you.
Okay. I don't really know what to do about it, but I hope, let me know if it becomes intolerable, then I have to try and do something.
I'm getting the impression that the connection is fine, it's the sound that's interfering. It's almost like someone's got the sound on and then it's playing back through something. That's what it sounds like.
Then it might just be somebody not muted. I mean, let's just try here. Everybody's muted. Is it now good? Is the feedback gone? Okay, then it is a feedback loop through. So somebody has high volume. They really want to hear what I want to say. Good. But yes, okay. But it's a good example, right? It's a good example that freeze. So I think you can, sometimes it is the freeze and the cutoff, and sometimes it's the total defendedness. How many people have had a conversation where you were convinced that the other one was speaking rubbish and you were right and they couldn't see it and you were all right and the other one was all wrong, and then the next day you say they might have had a little bit of a point. Yeah, exactly. Good. So, are you ready for an inquiry around this? Excellent. So, let's do the inquiry.